Nine times out of 10, they didn't catch the mistake. The crowd, the wedding party, they're nervous themselves. Shake it off, move on, and learn from everything you've performed and experienced in the past. So if you made a mistake, learn what you did wrong and try to work on that. Never expect to be perfect.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Lounge. If you're looking for flexible ways to earn income, grow your mindset, and live the lifestyle you've always dreamed of, you're in the right place. So lower the lights, grab your favorite beverage, and join your host, founder of NotaryCoach.com and Amazon best-selling author of Sign and Thrive, How to Make Six Figures as a Mobile Notary and Loan Signing Agent, Bill Soroka.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. Cheers to our guest today, Sunita Leek, the marriage notary. Sunita, thank you so much for making some time for us today.
You are so very welcome, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I've been really looking forward to this. Guys, we're talking about how to become a wedding officiant and why that role is so important. So, Sunita, I'd like to really just dive into the why about it right now, because of all the career choices, why did you become a wedding officiant?
Well, that wasn't my first mode of operation. I became a notary public here in South Carolina first, and I'd operated first starting out as a loan signing agent. I didn't start with the small stuff. I started right into the loan packages and loan signing part of it. I felt like it was, and of course, because we did have the opportunity to marry couples as notaries here in South Carolina, one of just a few states that has that ability without any additional licensure or certification. I was very nervous, very tense about it. I had high anxiety. I didn't have too much self-confidence to think that I could do it. And so I didn't really start officiating ceremonies until 2 years into my notary commission.
Oh, wow.
But once I did start, it was very enlightening. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I said, you know what? Let's just go forward with this. Let's move on. Let's build this.
Like, give it a chance.
Yes.
What was the impetus to do that, though? Was it a friend that said, hey, will you officiate my wedding? Or did you just see the possibility in it?
I saw the possibility in it. I didn't see the possibility in it because I was, very nervous. I couldn't even really hand out or pass out business cards when I first started my business. Because of personal situations, my self-confidence was so low that I just didn't give it a chance. But once I did, I said, you know what? I'm going to jump in with both feet. I'm going to do this and see how it pans out.
And it panned out pretty good, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you all over social media bragging on your couples and sharing their story. I would imagine that becoming a wedding officiant must have tapped into something really deep for you. Can you talk a little bit about that and why it's so important to be a part of that special day with people?
Sure. Now, I started my career out coming from a teller services standpoint. I was a customer services agent, a customer service agent for many years, and that was my shtick. And mostly telephonic. So on the telephone communication. And I kind of built my business from that because I pride myself and even still now on customer service, which everyone should do. And every couple, I don't see people as the same. There's no individual that's the same as another. And so in my business, I kind of crafted my wedding style around that. And I just, with each and every couple, I am vested in making sure that their experience is top notch, whether it's from just making it legal, which is just signing that, of course, you have to officiate a ceremony and signing the paperwork all the way to a formal ceremony. So everything up until now has just been you get that sense of pride in what you do over the years, and it just builds greater and greater.
I love that. Can you, you mentioned too, that when you first started this business, you were at a certain point where you maybe lacked confidence for personal reasons. Yes. Do you find that this business, whether it's both as the loan signing agent and the wedding officiant or just the wedding officiant, how did that help you pull yourself out of that?
Well, what really helped in pulling myself out of the low self-esteem and low confidence was building the business and gaining the knowledge. There was a time where I outsourced many of the things that I do myself now, and it's just a one-stop shop. It's me. I was outsourcing to Silicon Valley. I was outsourcing my graphics. I was outsourcing content and learning the background of what you do. It's like undercover boss. Learning the background of what builds your business has really helped a lot in what I do. It's a little more fulfilling when you do it yourself. And that's where it's just, you're vested in everything that you do and you have your hands in it. And that makes you appreciate it more.
That is so relatable. And it's almost like, you know, when you wake up each morning and you give yourself a little win, whether it's creating an awesome graphic for Instagram or posting one of your videos, there is something that just kind of lights you up and it proves to yourself every day that you can do this.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
Do you, you obviously take great pride in the work that you do as a wedding officiant. Why do you think it's so important that other wedding officiants do the same?
It's not just your business that, and of course, if you want to grow in any business, you need to make sure that your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed. You don't want to portray in any form or fashion. That's why I don't treat everybody the same, but I treat every ceremony, whether they're arriving in, you know, their scrubs from work, or, you know, they're in a rush, they don't have, there are some people that are rude. There are some people that are, you know, I just treat everybody as if I would want to be treated. And that's how other officiants should take on their business. You know, like if I was in a rush, if I was in a hurry, if I was, people talk about bridezillas, and I say there's no such thing as a bridezilla. It's people react certain ways to certain things. A bride who's getting married might be a little tense. A groom might be tense. Their family members might be a little tense. But when you are a professional, you know your stuff, you know what you're doing, you are on your P's and Q's, there's no way you can fail if you're on your P's and Q's, no matter who you're dealing with and how you're dealing with them.
Sounds like you're really advocating for really becoming the expert and knowing your stuff inside and out, right?
Right.
And is there a certain, I mean, I look at it from my perspective and I am a wedding officiant, but I'm really hesitant to jump in with both feet because I've got this fear that I'm going to mess up somebody's biggest day of their lives. How do you overcome that?
Okay. So number one, to help you overcome that is I say that initial consultations are very important, whether you're doing that. And of course, because of what's going on currently with the pandemic, conducting them by phone, by Zoom, recording, or if they want to meet in person, making sure that you're taking the precautions necessary, you're asking, you're getting information, you're probing for information. Well, hopefully well ahead of time, especially if it's a formal ceremony, to prevent those things from happening, to prevent mistakes from happening. But as I also tell other wedding officiants, don't expect to be perfect. There's no expectation of perfection. You're doing the best you can in what situation you're given.
That's probably some really good advice that's really hard to take.
Right.
Easier said than done sometimes. We put so much pressure on ourselves.
Yes, we do. We put a lot more pressure than is warranted. And that's when I began officiating ceremonies, that's where I was. My first ceremony ever, it was an apartment complex. And I was a nervous wreck, Bill. I was a nervous wreck. And the couple, they called me like a couple of days prior. And they said, we want to get married. And I was like, this is my first one. But I didn't tell them that. So I arrived and it was an apartment building. They said, come on in. They had a couple of friends over. They had their, now this is the kicker. They had their kids running around. There was a baby running around. They had pooped their diaper and stuff was everywhere. The house was a mess. And I was like, you know what? At that point is where I said, I got this. I can do this.
There is a certain comfort in that, I guess.
It was.
And then how did it go?
It went well. I was operating from I had like a little Acer One computer or Aspire One computer. And I was reading the vows from it because I didn't know what I was doing exactly, but they were happy with my performance right then and there in that situation. But a couple days later, the bride calls me and she says, ma'am, how can I get an annulment?
Oh, no. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was a monkey wrench in the whole operation, but it set me a little bit more at ease during the ceremony and after. They were happy with the performance, but then on the other end, I don't know how happy they were that they got married.
Right. A little change of heart there. Yeah. And I guess there's only so much you can control, right? Yes, you can't control that.
Yeah.
No. Wow. Well, that's a pretty memorable first time. And I would imagine through the years, you've had some that really stand out. And your couples are probably like your kids. It's really hard to say who is your favorite. But do you have one aside from your first that really stands out as memorable and you are glad you were a part of it?
I sure do. I have many. But let me tell you about one particular ceremony. The couple contacted me, well, you know, a good time in advance. It was for a formal ceremony, and it was at a very popular event venue that's no longer in business currently. It was a nationwide chain, and I wasn't nervous per se. It was an experience. They contacted me to officiate, and I was gung-ho. We did our initial consultation and garnered as many of the details as I could or as we could, and I was well prepared. What I wasn't prepared for was that the ceremony did not have a day of coordinator or a wedding coordinator. They had the venue, they had the space, we had the rehearsal the day of, Bill. And so on top of having the rehearsal the morning of, and the ceremony a little bit, you know, a few hours later, I had to stand in and act as a day of coordinator. So I was doing positioning. I was in charge of recessional, processional, lining everybody up, how the flow was going to go. We added a little special giving away ceremony portion of it, where the elders of the family were in their seats and the bride walked over and she was ushered over to them. They kissed her on the cheek and ushered her off to the groom, and it went off without a hitch. And it was excellent. I mean, I couldn't have officiated a more planned out, thought out ceremony day of.
That's, I would imagine, it sounds like you stepped right in there, was the hero, and I can see where that could serve a lot of people. It was giving me anxiety just hearing about it, but then also you kind of get to control everything. So it almost eliminates some of the middle people in between. So it sounds like you really shined in that
right. And
scenario.
And let me add, it wasn't just me. that shine throughout. It was the entire wedding party because they were open. And it's the openness of the people that you're working with that will definitely assist you in whatever you do. So if people are shut down and they say, well, I only want this a certain way and this is how it has to be, you know, and it's their party, you know, they're paying, it's their day. But when you have clients and customers that are more open to your suggestions, that definitely works well in your favor.
Yeah, I bet.
Yes.
I bet. So taking that into consideration and all the other weddings you've officiated, and you even help other people step into this role as well, what do you think is one of the most important qualities that a wedding officiant has?
Not most important quality, but most important qualities.
Okay.
You're not just there as an officiant. You're there especially when you're given additional duties like master of ceremonies. If you're announcing, you're instructing people to stand up, sit down, you're giving cues to the bride. You're giving cues to the bridesmaids and the groomsmen. You're holding a microphone in the process sometimes, or mic'd up in the process. You're not speaking too loud. You're not speaking too softly. You're making sure that your posture is correct. You are doing that, also taking in account of all the many different things that you've been, all the different pieces of information that you've been given about the ceremony. You have to know when everybody steps in the room. All processions are not the same. When people come in, they're not the same. When people recess or exit, it's not the same. So you have to keep an account of everything that's going on during the ceremony, and you are following a program. So it's not just here you talk and then here you talk a groom. It's all of those things intertwined in one.
So a little bit of organizational skills. It sounds like adaptability and flexibility is pretty important too.
Definitely.
Through the years, through all of these, you can tell that you love doing these wedding ceremonies. Is that a fair statement?
It is. It is. It gives me joy, much joy.
Would you say that it's absolutely worth it for you? Would you say that you found a calling in this?
Oh, yes, definitely. I did not. And when I began, Bill, I was, like I said, a nervous wreck. I didn't know if it was 100% what I wanted to do. And as I officiated more and more and presided over more ceremonies, I became more comfortable with it. And now I'm consulting others to become wedding officiants. And it's exhilarating every time I take on that role of leading them, of where to go, how to go. Whereas I think of the days when I first began, and I wish I had somebody like me to lead me forward in that. I wish I would have had somebody like me. And there are other people out there that actually do that. So definitely encourage others to get a mentor or follow someone.
I love that you talk about the power of mentorship, because really, I mean, if I was going to pick what I would classify as one of the most rewarding positions or roles or businesses, it's got to be wedding officiant has got to be in the top five or at least the top 10, right? I mean, that's an exciting day to be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes such a huge difference. I think the right wedding officiant can really make a ceremony work smooth. Obviously, I'm sure you agree with that too. So it behooves people to take it seriously. Get a mentor, get that training, get a little guidance on that. And I know that's a service that you provide. And for those listening, you can get into the VIP room at sidehustlelounge.com, and I'll have the links to Sunita's contact information and where to reach her.
Yes.
But before we do that, Sunita, like for the people who are listening right now and they're thinking, oh, maybe I'll try this. Maybe this is what I want to be a part of. Maybe I want to be a part of the best day of some people's lives up until that point. How would they get started to become a wedding officiant?
Okay. So to get started, of course, you definitely want to refer to your state rules and your local rules and laws on wedding officiation. There are wedding officiants and there are what are known as wedding celebrants. So a wedding officiant does have the legal capacity to marry a couple. They can write and sign off on paperwork, legalize the ceremony, legalize the marriage. A wedding celebrant, on the other hand, is a person who officiates or presides, should we say, presides over the ceremony, but they don't have the legal capacity to. There are wedding celebrants. There are states that will allow that to happen. And whether the state allows it to happen or not, whoever legally marries them does have to, like, for instance, in the state of South Carolina, they actually have to perform a ceremony. So if I have a make it legal ceremony where they just want to sign the paperwork, they want to get it done. They've been together for many years and they just want to go ahead and get it done. They want to make it legal. I, as the wedding officiant, do have to say, well, do you, John, take Sally to be your lawfully wedded wife? Do you, Sally, take John to be your husband? So knowing the rules and the state laws is the first thing that you want to seek. You want to know those. And then,
yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yes. And then research it. You can jump out there. That's fine. But knowing more knowing what you're doing is the ultimate goal of getting started. Because if you just jump out there, you know, I have officiants that come to me and they say, well, where can I get a copy of sample vows? Or where, if you research on the internet, you can find those. Well, how do I learn what I'm doing? You can go and you can seek out videos on social media on other ceremonies. Pull up wedding party setup formats. There's many different formats. Learn those. That's where you can start.
Nice. As far as a resource for people who are just getting started, like on the state rules, I know a lot of people just say, hey, go to ULC or Universal Life Church, start there for your research. Or do you recommend that? Or do you have another resource where people can just go and just say, all right, click my state and here's kind of my starting place?
I say this to those who want to start out or who are already wedding officiants. Go on an internet web search query. Any search engine console, type in your keywords, marriage, wedding officiant, sample vows, and you can start there. You can go to the major sources and to the notary associations. You can go to your Secretary of State's website if they have that information available. But this is how I started. I went on the main web search engines, and I started there.
Nice. So literally just about everything that you would need to get started is available at your fingertips, which we love, and it can be a little bit of a rabbit hole sometimes.
Yeah.
But just get started. And I think the important takeaway too is that you are 100% responsible for knowing those state and local laws. I wonder if you could dive in a little bit different, because you talked well about the state, but are there other laws like within a city or a county or something that might affect marriage laws as well?
Well, I'm trying to think on that one. Of course, I'm not familiar with every municipality or every city or every state's rules.
And that'd be a lot.
I do get questions for neighboring states. And there are certain requirements, like, for instance, here in the state of South Carolina, notaries can write into North Carolina. They can write into Georgia. They can write into Washington, D.C. But as far as being able to legally marry a couple in those states, you have to follow those states' requirements. So you have to definitely do your research on, especially with destination weddings specifically. You can, like, for instance, I have no clue what it takes to marry a couple in Las Vegas, but I have conducted wedding consultations for wedding officiants who are in other states. So in Nevada or in DC, I've conducted consultations for. So it's basically more on a general wavelength for me. Mm-hmm. So they definitely have to do their research on wherever, whatever city or state they're in, because the onus is not on me in that.
Yeah, exactly. That's 100% responsibility for our own business.
Yes.
And there's some oftentimes confusion around this. And I speak to the notary community a lot about the power of being a wedding officiant. But sometimes notaries get blocked and they say, oh, well, my state doesn't allow me to be a wedding officiant with my notary commission. But there's an obvious workaround for that, right? Can basically anybody be a wedding officiant as long as they follow their state's laws?
So that's where we get to the term of the wedding officiant and wedding celebrant. So me, my thing is, and even when I present later on down the line, anybody can act as a wedding celebrant. You mold yourself, you do the research, you follow, of course, your state or local guidelines. If it's allowable, you can be that wedding celebrant that presides and stands in place of the person marrying the couple, or should we say the ceremonial side of it. But then when it comes to and I will tell you this, Bill, most of the couples that I even do the make it legal paperwork for, they're making it legal before their actual big shebang ceremony.
Right.
And that's most couples that I see. And so I'll have couples come to me and they'll say, well, we want to go ahead and get this done. And I know this is not commonplace. And I'm like, yes, it is. Most couples do that. And so they don't know that people are actually making it legal and legalizing their marriage before their big ceremony. So they'll usually do it today's March 15th or today's April 15th, 2020. And then we're going to get married March 15th or March or April 15th, 2021. Well, we're going to make it legal on this date. And then we're going to have the larger ceremony next year in Jamaica, or we're going to have the larger ceremony next year here locally, but it's going to be the larger ceremony.
I think that's such a great perspective. I don't think most of us who aren't getting married every day don't even think about it. But a lot of these couples, they've already signed the paperwork. They're already legally married. That's taken care of. So the part we see, the celebration, is really just ceremonial.
That's right.
And then when it's the ceremonial component, literally anybody can be that celebrant. That is really good information, Sunita. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so people are listening. They're like, well, I think I've got this. I've got the personality for this. I've got the organizational skills. So if they go through and they find out what their state requires, how do they build a business doing this?
Wow. So it took me many years to learn my craft. There are two, or should I say, there are probably different ways to go about it. You can hit the ground running, do your own research, conduct your own research. And for many years, it took me many years, Bill. This is year 9 of officiating ceremonies.
Wow.
And I am still learning. It's a continual learning process. You'll want to definitely learn the terms within a marriage ceremony, what the difference between the maid of honor and a matron of honor is. Don't put me on the spot.
I won't, I promise.
What the best man duties are. The ring bearer, that it's mostly a symbolic role. Usually the ring bearer, which is usually a young boy, it's not always a young boy. It could be the flower girl is holding the rings. It could be that the best man is holding the rings. It might be the bride is holding the groom's ring. The best man is holding the bride's ring. The ceremony can go very different for each ceremony. So you have to know the different roles that the traditional roles of what each person within the ceremony plays, along with all the other different things. Now, you also pointed out that about messing up during a ceremony or So I wanted to kind of touch on that too, Bill.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
You want to work toward perfection, but don't ever beat yourself up because of a slight or even a major mistake. Know that you did your best on what you did and be proud of it. 9 times out of 10, they didn't catch the mistake. The crowd, the wedding party, they're nervous themselves. Shake it off, move on, and learn from everything you've performed and experienced in the past. So if you made a mistake, learn what you did wrong and try to work on that. Never expect to be perfect.
I love that. And it applies to the philosophy of Kaizen, of that constant continuous improvement. There's always going to be ways to refine and get better, but just take each experience and learn from it. I love that approach, and I'm sure that served you really well.
Yes.
And I love that you also speak about knowing the language of your couples. They're going to be asking you questions, so it's definitely going to add to your credibility and your confidence when you understand the difference between those definitions. But how do you get the phone ringing and dinging, Sunita? Is this old-fashioned advertising? Is it all referrals? Is it all web-based? How's that work?
It is an intertwined orchestration.
Let's dive into that.
So you are, of course, putting your best foot forward. You're making sure that your business is operating seamlessly as possible. Now, you are attempting to, of course, advertise word of mouth, which is still number one in promotion. So everybody that I get in front of, whether it's notary work, whether it's efficient work, I'm either giving them a card, I'm communicating with them on a constant basis. When we set appointments, I am following up on each and every appointment. I'm making sure that they know that I'm going to be there on the day of. I actually officiated a ceremony recently that the officiant did not show up. That they called and they canceled last minute. I get that quite often. I don't know how that happens, that they don't have someone put in place or they can't call someone to say, hey, I can't be there. Step in for me. But it does happen. I communicate with each and every couple in a way that they know that I'm going to be there, feet forward, and I'm not going to back out. And if I do, if there is a possibility that I can't be there, it's informational. So I'm going to tell them, hey, look, I'm sick, or look, I can't. There was a conflict. Sometimes conflicts do occur. Be upfront and honest with each and every couple or party that you will potentially step in front of, because that builds onto your credibility and reliability as well.
Sure. I can see where that would be huge. And it sounds like you're advocating for having a network of other officiants that you could rely on and support, and that will support you as well.
Yes.
Do you find that valuable?
Oh, yes. I see often on social media, especially, you know, there are these memes out there, oh, well, my competition. And I don't look at anybody as competition. You are who you are. You do what you do. If you do it well, people will cling on to you. And my referrals out, I don't have any problems with referring people to other officiants, to other wedding professionals, to other notaries. It's never been an issue. If you can't do it, Bill, you can't do it. And if somebody can do it better in a particular time and place, I'm not going to stack myself. I'm not going to stack myself with 2 and 3 formal ceremonies in a day. You'll burn yourself out. So it's best to refer, keep yourself on an upper level, and, you know, dust that hate off your shoulder. Just go ahead and do it, because then, of course, you'll build your network and you'll be seen in a better light. It's not that you want to necessarily do it because you'll be seen in a better light. It's just for your well-being and also for that couple. You don't want to fail. You don't want to fail them.
Yeah, you take such pride in what you do that you want to make sure that they get the best service. And wouldn't you find, Sunita, too, or don't you find that there's really no true success unless you're helping other people anyway?
That's right.
So when you refer to these other officiants, you're helping their dream come true, too, and helping the customer and helping you.
100%.
So you, I love how you talk about the constant communication. You obviously deliver an amazing ceremony. You share that experience. And I think that probably contributes to getting personal referrals. Where else do you find customers though? Are you advertising online? Are you on directories? How does it work if people want to get more business?
Well, gosh, Bill. So I started out with flyers. Excuse me. I started out grassroots campaigning. I had flyers. I had business cards. It was me and my kids, the kids that could walk at the time. We were going around to local businesses, putting flyers on doors. We were going and visiting assisted living facilities. And this is when I was doing mostly notary work and loan signing agent work. I was going visiting hotels. I was visiting hospitals and getting on their notary lists if they had a notary list. If they didn't have a notary list, I was encouraging them to build those notary lists because for facilities in different places, I was out there grassroots campaigning. I was going and putting cards on mailboxes. I didn't know where I was going with it, Bill, but I was gung-ho. I said, I want to do this. I want to get it started. I want to hit the ground running. I was telling people, as many people that I knew that I could, because remember, at first, I didn't have the confidence to even pass out business cards. So I was just telling people in my local, very tight-knit network about what I did. And then I was just putting those cards out there because different places, coffee houses, just wherever I could, I was putting my cards. So that's where I started.
It sounds like you did that because this business had to work for you.
Yes.
It had to take off for you, right?
Yes, sir.
And has it?
It has, tremendously. Mm. I started with six kids under my belt, still have the six, have grandbaby, and I have another grandbaby on the way, so...
That is amazing. And would you say that this business, whether the wedding officiant combined with your notary and loan signing business, was this a game changer for you in your life at that time?
Oh, definitely. It was definitely a game changer. I already had the knowledge of building websites. I had search engine optimization skills. I used the telecommunications or teleservices work, the interpersonal interactions. Everything that I did work-wise, I had experience being a hostess and cashier at a casino. Every upfront and personal job that I've had or telephonic job that I've had, I have input. I have put that input into my business, and it has helped tremendously.
What a gift to bring all of your past experiences. You don't have to check your bags at the door. You get to bring all of that with you to serve your customers and your business and your vision.
That's right.
For where you're going now.
Yes. And
I love that.
And typing. I love to type. That was my first passion was typing. And so I never had like a content creator. I have the blogs on both weddingsbysunita.com and greenvillenotary.com. Build both websites. I've built websites for other people. But then at a certain point in juncture, I just stopped focusing on other people's businesses and started putting everything that I did into mine. And after I started doing that, that's when it really started kicking off.
What a valuable lesson. Building your own dream.
Yeah.
Sunita, I know you're on social media all the time. Would you find that the blogging and the sharing the couple stories on social media, has that served your business well? Do you think that helps generate some of your business?
It does. But I don't post my couples for business. I post my couples because I'm proud. of course, their union, and as a celebration of their union. When I create content that is advertising, that's different to me. And I don't know if any other wedding officiant sees it that way, but that's my take on it. And that's what I do. And that's how I do it. I, of course, my social media pages are both personal and business. I do intersperse less personal in there now because I do like to keep private moments private. I don't put on social media like my children's like choir performance or their athletic performances any longer. I used to do things like that. I now have more of a business focus on my social media platforms.
Got it. And I love that you share authentically. And I think that comes through. Today's consumer, the couples, no matter what business we're in, they can smell inauthenticity. And I think they are attracted to authenticity. And I think it's pretty clear this is serving you so well. Sunita, thank you so much for sharing so much of your perspective and your experience. I know if there's any of our listeners who are interested in kind of diving deeper into what it takes to become a wedding officiant or even a wedding celebrant, you can visit the VIP room at sidehustlelounge.com. I'll have the links to Sunita's website and socials. You can also find her all over social media under Greenville Notary and Weddings by Sunita as well. Sunita, thank you so much.
You are so very welcome, Bill. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm so glad we connected. Thank you. For terms and conditions, as well as more information on whether the Notary eJournal is compliant in your state, visit the home of the Notary eJournal at www.juratinc.com. If you're a notary public, the future's here. Long have we been confined to pen and paper when it comes to our journal entries, and those days are over. The Notary eJournal by Jurat Inc. is a smartphone app that completely digitizes the journaling experience. You can quickly populate fields with an ID scan, you can make detailed notes about your appointment experience, and you can capture signatures electronically right on the screen of your phone. The Notary eJournal has also blazed a trail with the industry's first integration of a Bluetooth scanner, so the modern notary can actually capture a signer's thumbprint, making the Notary eJournal compliant in nearly every state, including California. Even if your state doesn't require a journal, it's considered a wise and best practice to do so. A journal can be a notary's BFF, as my friend Laura Viewer says, and you might as well be on the cutting edge of technology while you're using it. The Notary eJournal, it's simple, secure, and pretty damn cool to use. Your customers will love it, and you'll love the time you save at every single appointment. And time is money. Check out the demo and the incredible special offer just for supporters of the Side Hustle Lounge and Notary Coach at www.sidehustlelounge.com.